Friday Sport, brought to you by Selton Manx, investing in the community.
Are you all right there? Pastor Martin, welcome to Friday Sport, a fit and healthy team of correspondents here to bring you the latest on the rugby, football and hockey as the season start to come towards a close. Next week, I can tell you, we'll be looking at cricket with Maurice Trace, also going to focus on race walking and a little bit of the Manx Classic that's taking place today. Hope the weather clears for tomorrow's run at Lurgy Frizzle. But we'll begin with the rugby, and Dave Christian, I think, was in shock that he got a coffee bought by me. That's why he was coughing. Rugby then, just one game, so we'll do this quite briefly. South Lancashire and Cheshire Division 1, Douglas away at Hoylake. Nothing really on it, Dave, for Douglas, but there's plenty riding on it for Hoylake.
Yes, indeed, Tim. You look at this league table and you see the statistic that leaps out as Hoylake have played 25 games and lost or drawn 19 of them. So you'd expect Douglas to put up a pretty good fist of things, but as you say, there's nothing in it for Douglas. I don't think that's going to stop their players, though, motivating themselves for the game.
What sort of side do you know of Douglas taking away?
Well, that's a difficult question. We know that Sean and Lance Wiley aren't available, so they're going to have to make adjustments at number eight and scrum half. But they got an embarrassment of riches, really, in the back row. Laurie Williams, Craig McGee, Dom Winrow and Declan Horrocks will all be vying for starts in there. So they're going to be reasonably strong. They won the leg at Portishead earlier on in the season. I think it was back on the 3rd of January, but it was only 17-10. Hoylake picked up a very valuable bonus point there. But the other telling statistic in the table, Hoylake are next to bottom, need a 1 point from this game to avoid relegation. But them and the team they're competing with, Manchester Medics, who finished all their matches, have both had 5 point deductions for rule infringements. I'm guessing, because I haven't heard anything on the grapevine, that's for fielding unregistered players. Yeah. But both of them will be really regretting those admin slip-ups, because with those 5 points back in play, the table would have been looking a lot different. Hoylake, noticed they had picked up a losing bonus point against Winnington Park last week, which was a very good result for them. Winnington Park, of course, though, outside of the promotion places, so very little to play for them too. But Douglas will have one eye on the horizon, because there's a big game next Thursday night, Thursday the 30th at the Murrick Park, Ramsey against Douglas, Manx Cup semi-final. So Douglas will be wanting to get in a decent performance and perhaps play their Manx Cup side if they can this weekend. Travel's a little bit better as well at the moment. It's a 9:20 Liverpool flight out with an early flight home from Manchester, I think at 5:40. So it's not quite that getting up at stupid o'clock in the morning as well. So things looking fairly positive for Douglas, but you're quite right in your opening analysis. There's more riding on this game for Hoylake than there is for Douglas.
Douglas, how would you assess their season overall?
Mixed bag, Tim. Mixed bag. They've clearly got a lot of potential, and the early part of the previous season, they were up there in the promotion places in South Lancashire Cheshire Division 1, and they just faded at the end of the season. This season, though, with very little in the way of personnel changes, they've just not been competitive at all, and they'll be having a bit of a hard look at themselves, I think, over the summer to see how they can change that. We've also heard that from next season, there were supposed to be changes to the league structure that would result in 12 team leagues. The leagues are 14 sides at the moment, which is 26 fixtures. That was going to be reduced to 12 team leagues, but the RFU Council, the 57 old gentleman that Will Carling famously referred to, they voted to defer that introduction of 12 team leagues for 12 months. That vote was last Friday. So it will be 14 team leagues next season, which is certainly to the Manx club's delight. Our guy at the RFU, David Ewing, he voted against the proposal to defer it, but he lost the vote 56-1. So it was fairly unanimous, but thanks very much to David for trying. So it will be 14 team leagues next season. That is 26 fixtures, 24 of them away as well. 26 fixtures, 13 of them away from home. For Ramsey and Vagabonds, not quite as much of a problem, because one of those away fixtures will be in the Isle of Man for each of the sides, so perhaps not quite as much travelling as they initially thought. But Douglas will want to build on this season, but like I said, with no personnel changes at the start of this season, next season might be a little bit tougher for them too.
Dave Christian, many thanks indeed. And we'll move straight to the football with Tony Meppam. And Tony, the big game really, it's got to be the game that's taking place at Blackberry Lane. Old Boys, the Combination One champions against Russian, who finished only 5 points behind them in third.
Well, he did, and Russian will be looking at one or two games where they just sort of took their eye off the ball and dropped some points, and it sort of cost them dearly, but... as last year, they've got a very strong Junior Cup side, and they'll be looking to retain that. But Douglas High School Old Boys, I think, are just right in the thick of it at the moment. They're playing really well. There's a lot of good players there who've got qualified for the Junior Cup. And I think Adam Hutchinson is expecting to win that one. But don't be surprised if Russian don't make it difficult, because, you know, Hayden McClarney, even though he's had a lot of football to be playing of late with the Cal Cup, has been scoring on a regular basis, and they've got some other good players in there, experienced ones. So, you know, Russian will make it difficult, but I think Old Boys will go through.
Do you see any surprises in the rest of the quarter-final lineup for the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup? Douglas Royal play Peel. It's Laxey against Corinthians and St John's against Braddon. So there's only two Combination Two sides left.
Yeah, but one really good side, I think, Combination Two side, and that's Braddon. Impressive result last week, really did well against St John's, who I know Andy Bell's got a strong team, but I just wonder if Braddon can mix it with them, and Daniel Bedford up front for them, big strong player, and whether he can get amongst St John's defence, wait and see. But they've got a great goal scorer in Richard Wynn. He's a big lad, plays up front, and you know, if anything's in the air, he can finish it. And I think St John's know that there's a game coming, and hopefully, Tim, with your permission, I can cover this one.
Okay,
because
yeah.
I just wonder if we may just have a shock on the cards if Braddon can get it together.
We'll certainly allow that without question. Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-final on tomorrow as well. Douglas Athletic Ramsey Youth Centre.
Well, that's a beauty. It would have been nice to cover that one, but you know, they've had quite a bit of coverage, so let's give the Combination side some round. But you know, Ramsey Youth Centre, they've got a big game to come up yet to get that promotion, as well with Douglas Athletic. Have had an absolutely fantastic season, and if Ramsey Youth Centre were to slip up, Tim, in that last game against Foxdale, then that would allow Douglas Athletic to be promoted, and that would just be the icing cake.
Well, Foxdale showed their no pushovers with that draw midweek, 1-1 with Douglas Royal.
Well, exactly, and I think Foxdale were 1-0 up, and a rare goal by Craig Lemaire for once. Alan Lemaire phoned me up with a score, which is a tough ask, just to let me know Craig had scored.
He won't
so
be
I knew
phoning
there was
again
something. Exactly, but with Douglas Royal, maybe the foot off the pedal, because they'd done what they wanted to do, was get into the Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-finals, if you like, and they've done it. But I think against Douglas Athletic, against Ramsey Youth Centre, it's an open game. It could go anywhere. Youthy have had to sit by the wayside a little bit to see the games go ahead in front of them, and I just wonder if Douglas Athletic can catch some cold and get to another final.
And until 2 weeks ago, we weren't even mentioning it, but now we are. Grand Slam. It's all about the Grand Slam. Craig's Heartstrong Foundation Hospital Cup. We've got first round games, Jim's Foxdale and Union Mills Moran. We've got one quarter final, Peel against Corinthians, but all eyes are now on Glencrutchery Road, St George's against Old Boys. What a game that could be.
Well, a fantastic game, and I know St George's are training tomorrow just like they did last week. They just bring the boys in with the midweek game, and I think it's probably shake off a few little hangovers that may be hanging in from Wednesday, because from what I heard, the casino was still doing business with the Geordies players at 3 o'clock. So any bosses out there who may be a little bit perturbed with the behaviour of their players on the or their employees on the Thursday, give them a bit of respite, because it was a big night for them, and they went out. But it is a massive game, Tim, for more for St George's, because Old Boys, they don't have any fear. They'll be quite content to go into this, as possibly with a good chance after that great result against Peel. But, you know, St George's, they just stick to the task. They did it again on Wednesday. They played really well in the first half. They've got goals all over the team. They've got a strong bench. I think on Wednesday, it was Ben Bradley was on the bench, Callum Morrissey and Johnny Myers. That's huge when you've got potentially two Island players there. But, you know, St George's will, I think, want to win this one. They want to go for the Grand Slam, and Douglas High School Old Boys stand in their way.
They do indeed, Tony. We look forward to hearing on Monday with the semi-final or quarter-final draw.
We're not going to do it,
no,
Tim.
It's not been done. You'll just come in and tell us what's
happening. I'll come in and tell you what's happened. The reason why we're not doing it, Tim, because there's going to be three either or.
It's getting busy now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's not fair. So we'll leave it a week and the fixtures will go a week, yeah.
Okay, Tony, many thanks for that.
Friday Sport, brought to you by Selton Manx. Investing in the community.
Huge day of hockey awaits us tomorrow at the National Sports Centre. Finals day it is. And we've got to start with the two senior competitions. Vikings A looking for yet another Women's Hockey Cup double between League and Cup. If they win the Bridgewater's Women's Cup final at 12:35 against Valkyries A. James,
yeah,
Russell.
I've got Kit's rather wonderful book, The History of Isle of Man Hockey, here in front of me. It tells me the last time that Vikings didn't win the Ladies' Cup title was the 2007-08 season when Castletown won it. Valkyries are the ones that have come closest to getting results against them in the last few years. So I think that game has got a lot of potential interest. You look at Vikings this year. I said at the beginning of the season I thought they'd lose this year in the league at some point. They haven't. They've still wiped away everybody in front of them. Last weekend against Backers in the final league fixture of the season, Backers pushed them quite hard. The end result was 4-1 to Vikings. But for the first 45 minutes of that game, Vikings struggled to score against Backers. And I think there's a chance this game could be interesting tomorrow. Vikings have won the last seven. They know they can do it. Valkyries really have a hell of a lot of incentive to go out there and win tomorrow.
And what about the Bridgewater's Men's Cup final? Couldn't be better, really. Backers A, Valkyries A.
Well, what a game that's going to be. We've missed this one in the last couple of years in the Cup. I think the last few years it's been the draw hasn't gone our way to give us this Backers-Valkyries final. But what a game. You look at the game they played last week in the league. Like, nothing really hung on that game. It got quite argumentative. It got quite feisty. So I think, you know, we're going to see a great game down there tomorrow at 2 at the NSC. And the semi-final, the second of the semi-finals was on Monday night, and that was Valkyries A against Vikings A. That was a fantastic game. It was 4-4 in the end. Valkyries won through on flicks, and hopefully we'll see a game as good as that tomorrow afternoon. We know that Backers are going into this as favourites. The league proves that, but Valkyries aren't a million miles away from them, and on the right day, Valkyries can take a win there.
And then we've got the men's and women's plate finals kicking us off, or pushing us back off at 11:05, I should say. The women's game, Vikings B, Castletown B.
This is going to be an interesting one. Vikings B have been in the plate final for the last 3 years. I think they won it 2 years ago. They go into this as the stronger team. You look at the league performances of these two teams, they've won twice as many games as Castletown B. Castletown have got a couple of players from the A team, but nothing that's unreasonable. It's just the way these things have ended up. Some of the other players have been pulled up. Castletown are very much up to win this, basically salvage something from the season. It hasn't been a great year for either of the Southern clubs. Castletown potentially can go out tomorrow and get them some silverware.
And rounding it off with a 3:35 pushback, the men's plate final, Ramsey B, Backers Colts.
This could be an incredibly close game. These teams have very similar records in the leagues. Ramsey concede slightly fewer goals, so I think they go into it as favourites. That coupled with the fact that a lot of the old hands that have been playing at the back to shore up that Colts team are away on a veterans trip this week.
So you're going to go with Ramsey B on that one,
I guess. I'm going to go with Ramsey B on that just narrowly.
James, many thanks indeed. Well, time to meet a couple of the competitors and their cars taking part in the Manx Classic.
Frank Ashley.
Well, Frank, I gather it's a first trip ever to the Isle of Man, never mind the event.
That's right, yes. In all of my years, I've never managed to come in this direction before. So, yeah, delighted to be here. Something new, something very interesting, very exciting. And we're delighted to be here.
How did you hear about the event?
Through the Bugatti Owners Club, and also the Vintage Sports Car Club gets an invite as well. We were thinking of coming about 5 years ago, but something happened and we never progressed any more than thinking about it. But this time we said, right, we're coming.
And of course the Isle of Man doesn't need to sell itself in terms of motorsport.
No, certainly not, no. We do watch the TT and occasionally the Manx Grand Prix and frighten ourselves silly thinking, no, you can't possibly do that on a bike through that corner.
Well, you're now on. and you've had a practice already, probably one of the most iconic bits of road in the world.
That's right. Yes, yes. We've watched many a bike go off from here, and it really is something to be on that bit where going along at, what was my average speed? 32 miles an hour. These guys are doing well over the 100.
Tell us about the car and the bears.
Well, it's a 1929 M-Type MG, which I've had since 1967. Bought as a semi-derelict wreck, rebuilt over about 20 years. And 20 years ago, I thought, I'll get a license and do a couple of events just to make sure I don't, sort of in my old age, regret not having done it. And the rest is a bit of history.
And here we are on the Isle of Man. What about the bears, then?
Now, the bears, well, there is one there wearing a Manx sweater.
Just in the front windscreen there.
Yes, he's a newcomer. The other one is my number one supporter, wearing a T-shirt.
Going to go and have a quick look at the bear. Here we go. T-shirt with, well, it's you, it's the car.
The car on, yes, yes. That was me at Prescott a few years ago, and that picture has ended up on a painting. It actually is off a painting that local artist did, and I saw a copy of it on a magazine and said to Thelma, I wonder if he's got the original. On Christmas morning, swapping presents, I ended up with this A4 package, and it was inside.
Superb. I take it the bears have a little bit more of a safer seat when you're racing?
He sits in the back, yes, and he sticks his legs through the floor and pedals like hell.
Listen, great to talk to you. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Scott Kineski.
Well, Scott, tell us first of all about the car.
So the car is a Citroen AC4 1928 with a Tiger Moth Aero engine that's been placed in it. So quite a slow speed RPM engine, but with the diff and that, around about 85-90 mile an hour top speed.
Get a lot of attention though, I bet.
It does, yeah. I think the colour and the shape do it justice. So and obviously the noise when it's running at full chat, yeah, it sounds brilliant.
I've spoken to visitors who are new and have been coming here for several years. Being a local, what's this event mean?
It's a brilliant event especially for the locals. You know, it's a good place to test your cars before you think about going off island, you know, on different sprints and hill climbs. And when the weather's like this, you know, you can't fault it, can you?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's been booked for tomorrow and Saturday, which is a shame. But that's the Isle of Man for you, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to have it in all seasons, haven't you? You know, it's a bit more of a challenge.
Which other events would you do then in a year?
On this one, this is the first event for this particular car, but go across and hopefully do Donington or Silverstone, just a hill climb, not a circuit race, but you know, just a hill climb. It's just a bit easier on the on the machinery and things like that.
You've got to look after and nurse a car like this sort of age, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got to keep on top of it. You know, it's constantly worked on. You know, you need a lathe, you need a decent engineering shop really to keep on top of it to make it run correctly.
And how did practice go this afternoon?
All right, we're a bit late. There's two drivers driving it today, but our helmets, we've got motorcycles, so we assume the helmets would be okay for the MSA, right. But it's a different label. We've got ACU Gold on our motorcycle helmets, but obviously it's the MSA for this, so we had to beg, steal or borrow another one, so we're a bit late arriving. So we've had one practice, but yeah, it's gone well. So throughout the week, the event will just keep increasing RPM and hopefully get quicker and quicker and quicker.
Which is going to be the hardest for the old girl here?
I would think probably tomorrow around Glen Helen, because it's quite a fast sweeping circuit there. But I think the nicest one for us, hopefully if the rain stays off, will be Ramsey, because there's some nice short sections, you know, tight corners where we can power out and make it sound nice.
Enjoy the weekend.
We will, thank you.
Yep, I think they're all enjoying it. The Lurgi Frizzle Hill Climb tomorrow. Now, the A18 Snaefell Mountain Road is closed from 9 to 6. Tomorrow from its junction with Barool Park to the 26th milestone. So from Ramsey up to the 26th milestone, roads are closed and no through traffic from the bungalow either if you're heading towards Ramsey. Access though maintained to Brule Park from the A18 at May Hill. There are parking suspensions as well in the area in Ramsey. Hope it's a great day. Let's hope the weather clears. Well, it's the time of year when hundreds are training hard for the Manx Telecom Parish Walk in June, but entries are now open for the Ramsey Bakery end-to-end walk later in the year. More now from the man who won the parish and the end-to-end last year, Richard Gerrard.
Yeah, the Ramsey Bakery end-to-end is taking place on the 20th of September this year, starting at 8 o'clock from the Point of Ayr. I think the end-to-end walk, it tends to get forgotten a little bit when you compare it to the parish walk in terms of numbers and everything, but I guess in the terms of kind of overall stature of the event, it probably is the second event behind the parish walk.
Mm. To some people, I mean, an end-to-end, you know, John O'Groats to Land's End, Point of Ayr to the Sound, there's a romantic appeal about I've walked the length of the Isle of Man.
There is, yeah. And I think for anybody who's daunted about having a go at the parish or trying to complete the parish at first attempt, the end-to-end walk is that distance. It's just under 40 miles. There's a 10-hour cut-off, so for the majority of people, it's very achievable. And yeah, it's a walk that's been held for a number of years. It's changed in terms of the route. I think about 10 or 15 years ago, used to go down the east of the island.
Too much traffic now.
Much traffic, yeah. But now following the west of the island, and it's become a really good route. It's a tough route because towards the end of the walk, you've got the climb up out of Dolby, and then you've got up to the Round Table. And even when you come down Balacalawi, the climb at the end up to Craignish finish. So, yeah, it's probably one of the toughest finishes of any walk anyway.
It certainly is, at least downhill from Craignish anyway. But you've got to get to Craignish up the High Road.
Yeah, that's right. We do have a number of points where competitors can stop. So, for example, you can stop at Peel and there's a cut-off there at 2 o'clock, so that's 6 hours. For anybody who wants to continue past Peel, you've got to get there by 1:30, so 5.5 hours to get to Peel, which again should be comfortable for the majority of people.
And like all the successful walks, you get the elite walkers like your good self, but there's also the charity walkers and the fun walkers and those who just want to take it on as a personal challenge.
Absolutely. I think everybody can get something out of the walking. And I think for me, when I first started walking, it wasn't to do it competitively or anything like that. It was just a challenge, and then it kind of grew from there. And as you said, the charity side, if you bring that in as well, the amount of money that's raised through the likes of the end-to-end walk, obviously the parish walk as well, and the overall, I suppose, impact on the community, getting the community together for these events.
Entries are open from the beginning of this month. When do they close? How long have people got?
For the end-to-end walk, we do close the entries quite late on. It's about 2 weeks before. Yeah. And what tends to happen is people will... the entries open on the 1st of April, but people will tend to be thinking about their parish walk preparations then. So it's only really after the parish walk we start to see the entries flow in. But I would encourage people to start entering now anyway. Put that date in your diary, 20th of September, and start your training now towards it.
And if there's people there that are beating themselves up that they've actually chickened out of the parish, they can restore personal pride by entering the end-to-end.
Absolutely, yeah. And if the parish walk doesn't quite go to plan, you can redeem yourself at the end-to-end walk.
Yeah. Got to talk to you about the parish, though, while you're here as defending champion. You went away just last weekend and had an interesting experience across in an A-category race.
Yeah, it was the National UK or 20K Championships held near Heathrow Airport, a place called Hillingdon. And it was a bit of an eye-opener, really, when you're competing against some real quality athletes whose objectives are aiming towards the Olympic Games. And there's plodders like me who turn up and just try not to disgrace themselves. But those kind of shorter walks are ideal preparation for the parish walk. I think with the parish walk, people think you've just got to go out and walk miles and miles, but it's the quality of those miles that count. So this is just something for me to do, which is kind of ideal preparation.
I've noticed, particularly the last week when the weather's been good, so many people in the evenings and at the weekends out training at the moment.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot more high-vis outfits out and about anyway.
And it grows every year, it seems.
It does, yeah. I'm not sure exactly where entries are on the parish walk in comparison to previous years, but if the numbers you see kind of out and about or anything to go by them, we should be in for a good year.
Going for a third? Quite often champions say, no, I'm out to enjoy it the year after. But
I'd like to, yes. Barring any injuries or anything like that, I'll certainly give it a go.
And there's a quality of field now, though, isn't there, that in maybe years gone by, you almost knew who was going to win right at the start of the event, barring them breaking down. But you don't now, do you?
No, I think in the past, some of the top walkers didn't necessarily concentrate on the parish walk every year. But I think as it's grown in popularity, there's quite a big group of people now who could be challenging for that spot, and the times are getting quicker every year because I think people are making that their focus and training specifically for the parish walk now.
Could come out of the little training group you're in?
I think so, yeah. That training group seems to be growing and growing as more people come along and join. So it's just, for example, there was 8 of us out last night, and there's a number of people there who could certainly be on the podium.
But it's all still friendly at the moment.
At the moment.
Wonder how long that will last now, Will. Good luck there, and thanks to Richard Gerrard for that update on particularly the end-to-end walk, parish walk, not too far away. Friday Football Focus is next after the break.
Friday Sport, brought to you by Selton Manx, investing in the community.